Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Rick. And you're listening to the Black Thinker Radio Show. And today is Wednesday, February 24th, and we are out on the West Coast, and we are actually celebrating the Trump victory in the Silver State of Nevada. And today's show's title is called "Will Political Ideology Trump the Will of the People in November?" And I haven't done a Black Thinker radio show in probably, I want to say, about 2 to 3 years. If you go to the website on Blog Talk Radio, you will see that there are a number of shows, probably about maybe 15 or 20 shows that I did in 2013. But I haven't done a Black Thinker radio show probably since May of 2013. And the reason why is because I've been working on my business, and I have another radio show that I promote for services and products that I offer. But I was prompted to start, energize, reactivate the Black Thinker radio show for several reasons. And the number one reason was, or is because I see this trend, the same thing that happened in November 2012 when Mitt Romney was running for the GOP nomination and then went to the voters in the last election. A lot of people stayed home and said, well, because he's not conservative enough, maybe it had a lot to do with his religion. I think he's Mormon, and maybe that was the reason. But I keep hearing this phrase that the person is either not conservative or they are conservative, and I'm confused by that. I'm really confused by that. And now we have a person in the GOP presidential nomination race, Donald Trump. And they're saying he's not conservative enough, and therefore, you know, we may not support him. And it's not so much the people are saying they're not going to support him. That's fair. I mean, if a person gets to vote for whomever they want to vote for, so that's not a problem. If Joe says I like, you know, Rubio or Cruz over Trump, fine. That is fair. That's fair game. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. That's the American system. One person, one vote. But it's when the large organizations are coming together to you know, do a frontal attack on a candidate, and it's primarily because they say he is not conservative enough. And I really have a majorly confused by what they mean by that. So my show subtitle paragraph says, "This will be a humorous show, coupled with some truth regarding Donald Trump's potential running the table for the GOP presidential nomination. But on a serious note, again, why does the GOP always shoot itself in the foot in the name of political ideology when candidates do not have the desired establishment pedigree? It's either win our way, which is, you know, win with a conservative, or lose. And frankly, not just myself, but millions of American people are tired of losing, and that's the reason why we are angry. I have no problem with saying that I am angry, because I am. I'm out in a state here out in California, where, you know, when I got here in the mid 1980s, this was a booming, highly productive state where business was flowing and people were excited, people were happy. People were having fun, and now it has turned into a, in my opinion, a socialist hellhole. And I have no problem saying that either. It's a socialist hellhole. And I just hope that, you know, people that live in other states, that their state does not make that conversion to how California is operating. But like I mentioned, I mean, you know, on the funny side of this, here you have a candidate, Donald J. Trump, who I have read his book since 1991-92, The Art of the Deal. He is probably, well, yeah, he is the number one real estate mogul, at least in terms of in the Americas, if not in the world. So you have a person that has tremendous historical and, you know, success in the business world, and they're treating the guy like he's Bazooka Joe, like he's from a bubblegum wrapper, and I think that's appalling. The American system was built on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and here you have a candidate that exemplifies and has demonstrated and has benefited from his hard work in the American capitalist system, and he's being treated like a lost stepchild, all in the name that he is not conservative enough. And again, what does that mean? Just historically, the GOP has had so-called conservatives, you know, do some horrible things in their personal life, with their marriage, with being indicted, even with you know, with some very, very dark behaviors. So these people were so-called conservative, and then when they were accused and convicted or found out about their other side of their life, they got out of politics, and rightfully so. No problem there. So my thing is that what is a conservative? You know, I'm a math and statistics as well as a business consultant. And there's this thing called the factorial, F-A-C-T-O-R-I-A-L, exclamation point. And what a factorial is, it's a way to mathematically identify all the different combinations of things as they could exist. For instance, if you have a red car and a blue car, well, you have a person can buy a red car or they can buy a blue car. If you have three cars, the person can buy a red and a blue car, or the person can buy, I mean, if you had you have three cars, a red, white, and blue car, a person can buy a red and a blue car, they can buy a white and a red car, or they can buy a white, a blue, and a red car. So you see you have all these different combinations. So three factorial, the mathematical answer is six. There are six different combinations of three factorial, three different choices in different combinations. Well, in the GOP, you know, and we're using this phrase conservative, I added up about nine different ways that you can be a conservative. So nine factorial is 360,200. In other words, there are over over a quarter of a million different combinations of how a person can classify themselves as a conservative. They can be a social conservative, a fiscal conservative, a constitutional conservative, economic conservative, a gun Second Amendment conservative, a First Amendment conservative, a religious conservative. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And what this does to people who are not perhaps a GOP, they're confused. They're like, well, what does that mean? Does a conservative mean, does a person who calls himself or herself a conservative, does that mean they only have two drinks instead of three drinks at the bar? Does that mean that when they see a pretty woman, they don't say anything, you know, flattering to a pretty woman, or if it's a woman saying that the guy's attractive? Does it mean that they don't go out and have a great time? They don't go to bars? Does it mean that they don't smoke? Does it mean that that the person is in, you know, to be a conservative, does that mean you have to go to church you know, 50 weeks out of the year, or is the standard 26 weeks minimum? I mean, what is this standard? So just recently, just this morning, I heard Mr. Rubio, who I you know, Marco Rubio, presidential candidate, which I really admire, says that he is the most conservative person running. I'm like, well, dude, what do you mean by that measurement? Can you provide what are the metrics? What are the factors that allow you to say that you are the most conservative candidate? I think that is totally ridiculous for anyone to say that, you know, because here's a guy that he just recently, you know, got out of debt, you know, after being going paying student loans, and there's no problem with that. Everyone, you know, has a road to go down to financial independence, but for a person to say that, and for people to believe someone that they don't even know, well, I'm voting for him because he is the most conservative candidate. I think that's baloney. Really, I think it's baloney. And then when you have a candidate, and I don't care if it was Fiorina or if it was Carson, and they were leading, it doesn't matter to me. It's just the fact that we have a candidate that looks like he has wide appeal. He has appeal within, you know, mostly GOP voters, but he also has appeal with Democrat voters, and that's how you win. Plus, the person has one of the most notable and successful business backgrounds of anyone who's ever run for office. And that's really what America needs. America needs someone that has some business experience, someone that knows what job creation is all about. All the other candidates, with the exception maybe Fiorina, you know, they've only had government jobs. They've only had government jobs, and guess what? You know, there's no problem with having a government job and running for governor. I have no problem with that. But guess what? At the end of the day, you only know how government work and government budgets and all that kind of stuff go down. What do you know about generating or creating a business? I mean, on the business side of things, and that's what America is all about, like I said, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there are so many other things that have been ignored by the current president, and so many things that have not been said by the GOP leadership. The GOP, you know, I'm almost 55 years old. Since I've known what a Republican is, it's always been, you know, the people who create jobs, the people who want lower taxes, the people that want less government regulation. Here I am in California, where a large number of businesses, both large and small, have abandoned the state. They have abandoned the state. So what does that mean for people that are still here, that still do business and you know, and still believe in the American dream and capitalism? We're stuck. We're stuck in this state where 45-50% of the people are on public assistance. That was not like it was when I first got here in California. It was not that, you know, you had almost 50% of the people living here on some type of public assistance. What does that do for a business? And they're fleeing, and these businesses and people have fled to states like Texas and Florida and Idaho and even Oregon of all places. And they fled to Nevada. So what you have is an exodus of capital. You've had an exodus of entrepreneurs. You've had an exodus of people that are paying taxes instead of using the tax system. So that's why California is a gigantic mess. And here we have an opportunity to bring in a candidate that not only understands the equation of profit equals revenue minus expenses. The person had graduated from one of the top business schools in America. That is phenomenal for a person to be running for office and actually have that that level of business of credential. Fabulous. And people like myself are very, very excited because we now see that someone who may become the president of the United States will focus on the things that the president's supposed to do, which is, number one, protect America. Number two, you know, set the stage or create the environment for business success so people can work and people can make money. And on a personal level, look, there are a lot of guys out there that feel very low in a very depressed state because the guys are supposed to, primarily in a family, be the breadwinners. You know, so you have a lot of guys, a lot of men that have lost their jobs under this current administration, and they feel very, very depressed about it. And that's not how it's supposed to be, you know. So what I'm saying is that, you know, here's an opportunity for the American people, one person, one vote, to vote for the person that they believe will make America great again. And there's so much opposition from what the new phrase is now, the establishment, or the new word, the establishment Republicans, those who, in my opinion, you know, the candidates that they want to run, or the candidates that they have run in the past, they all just eat from the government trough. I mean, they may win, or maybe even if they don't win, they still have access to all these public monies and government monies because they have inside connections to people who, frankly, may not even want, you know, America to win. They just want access to the money and access to the power, so their friends can get rich. And frankly, as an American citizen and a business person and a capitalist, that veil has been pulled away, and everybody sees it. And that's the reason why people are tired of these professional career politicians who, once they get into that political office, they just suck it dry for the next 20, 25, 30, 40 years, and they all come out millionaires. They come out millionaires because they've received all these donations where they've traded their votes for money, and we're sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of it. And that's the reason why we want a candidate who doesn't need to be, who is not influenced by someone dropping a $200,000 check or $1 million check. The person has money already. And here's the other thing that I actually admire the most about Mr. Trump. I admire the fact that these other candidates on the other side, they are socialists. I mean, one person even says that he's a socialist. Okay, so what I admire about Mr. Trump is that he's fighting for the existence of capitalism, because he, in my opinion, has the most to lose if socialism runs amok in America. He has the most to lose. I mean, if socialists start coming after people who are successful and people who have built large business enterprises over the last 30, 40 years, and they come attacking him, or attacking him or her, it doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man, they start attacking this person and raising their taxes to 90% and causing their businesses to fail. That's why I think Donald Trump has the most to lose out of all this. And in fact, if you look at the history of the United States and how it was built, it was the rich people, the successful doctors, lawyers, business people who got together and put together the Declaration of Independence. And also, you know, wrote the and met about the rules and the language of the U.S. Constitution. It was the rich people, because they did not want the same thing to happen in the new America that happened to them over in England. So that's the reason why I'm you know, that I believe Donald Trump is running, because otherwise, why would he need to run? Just think about that. If the guy's a billionaire, why would he need to run? Well, he's running because he doesn't want to be ripped off by and robbed by these socialists. And yeah, you know, every person has a hard time, and but here in America, you can change that. You can change, you know, a life that, you know, maybe you're not successful. You can use the internet. You can use you know, college. You can be self-taught. You can be a professional athlete. You can be a recording artist who makes millions of dollars. You can become an actor with 2 years of acting school and go on to be a person that wins all these Emmy Awards. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can be successful in America as opposed to any other, you know, country, third world country or a country that is still trying to develop. So that's all just straight up, you know, bullshit about, you know, people who say, oh, well, you know, we need socialism in America. No, we don't. We need more capitalism in America. We need capitalism, capitalism, capitalism. The only thing that's missing is that so many people over the last 20 years, I think, in my opinion, maybe a generation, don't know about capitalism. They don't know about the free enterprise system. They don't know that, you know, you can be anything you want to be in America if you just give it some hard work. And I'm telling you, I am so, so excited. And even if, you know, my candidate that I want to win does not win, you know, a statement has been made, because the American people are angry about the current economic climate here in America. And it's about time that changed. I mean, I'm serious. It's about time that that system, this poor, rundown, poorly run, you know, American economy that has been run to the ground over the last 8 years. Sorry, I got a little voice issues. It is about 5:30 on the West Coast, but this American economy has been run to the ground. Pretty much every policy that was signed by executive order was signed and implemented to make the American economic system weaker rather than stronger. I mean, I don't even want to list them all, but there's been so many different things that have been implemented, executed, signed by executive order, passed, you know, in the dark of night, that have caused the American economic system to be on its knees. And that's a very pathetic way to run a country. I mean, I just can't even imagine why would someone want to do that. And that's, again, that is very, very pathetic. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening. My name is Rick, and you're listening to the Black Thinker Radio Show, and we will try to have about 2 to 3 radio shows every week about the same time. And if you ever want to call in, the call-in number is 347-850-8205. We will have these shows live at about 5:30 Pacific time. So that's about 8:30 on the East Coast, y'all. And so anyway, have a great day, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.